Good morning and thank all of you for being here again on this little rainy day, but we're so blessed to have the rain. We're thankful for all of you being here. Debbie, we're so thankful that you come back to visit us, and we pray that you'll continue to come back and make your life right with the Lord. I'm going to talk to you this morning about our hope of glory, our hope of glory. Some things of value can be held in our hand, but some of the greatest blessings are in the heart. These blessings are not tangible, but they enrich life more than the things that we can see and touch. Our hope of glory is one of these precious intangible things and blessings. This hope is available to every person because of the grace and the eternal purpose of God, which He purposed in and through Christ. To know the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ is to taste of that which adds most to this life by giving us hope and being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The risen Lord brought life and immortality to light. The gospel story is good news for man, for this life, and the one that is to come. Degradation, shame, and ruin come to the one who sows to the flesh. But the man who sows to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Christians know this from their study of the sacred writings, so they can depend on the strong anchor of hope. Hope, brethren, hope saves. Hope leads one to purify his life and abides with man along with his faith and love. Hope, faith, and love. These three make up the more excellent way. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is the greatest sacrifice ever made by anyone. It was made for men who were yet in their sins. Brethren, this is amazing grace. When Christ came into the world, He gave Himself to purchase the church with His own blood. The Father and the Son are one in their interest in man's salvation. Christ tasted death for every man and invited all to come to the great feast of spiritual blessings that we can have in Him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ lived as a meek and lowly man, and in so doing He left us an example. His suffering and death confirmed His love for us as He paid the price of our redemption and became the propitiation for our sins. He became poor that we may be rich. He was wounded for our transgressions. He shed His blood so that God might be just and at the same time the justifier of sinners. Any hope of glory that we have is in and through Christ. He is now our advocate with the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Our hope of glory is strengthened by our mediation upon the fact that we have a great high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. The work of our Lord did not end at the cross. God has ordained that He judge the world in righteousness when the dead shall be raised. The gift of eternal life with all the indescribable blessings is not ours at this time, but we do have that hope of glory. Look with me at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. The Bible says that Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It seems strange to me that anyone would argue that he now has eternal life, which the Scriptures mention. There remains a rest for the people of God that we have not received, but we already have a foretaste of that test, of that rest. We have not received the incorruptible inheritance, but we are children of God and heirs with Christ. We now have a measure of peace and glory and joy, salvation, and hope of our faith that works through love. We're now called by the gospel and justified by faith. Those who are called and justified are glorified. Is it not a glorious privilege to be a child and heir of God? Think about it. Paul warned the Corinthians that the unrighteous would not inherit the kingdom of God, but he told the saints that had formerly been thieves and fornicators and drunkards that they were washed, they were sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were not in heaven in the final wonderful state of glory, but that which they had received was a glorious blessing. When penitent believers are baptized, they are saved, their sins are remitted, and they're forgiven, their sins are washed away. This hope of glory, or the hope of eternal life, is not a vain hope. The exceeding great and precious promises are made by the one who cannot lie. His message to us has been confirmed, and those who listen to his word with reverence have a good reason to have strong faith. The Bible will bear investigation. Unbelievers do not study his word, and those who do not study his word are unbelievers. Let's go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, if you would. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll read verse 17 through 19. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, thereby two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul and both sure and steadfast. Having sure and steadfast hope makes one rich towards God. What treasure could add more to the joy now than to have the precious faith in Christ as the Son of God and to look for his glorious coming? Those without God and without hope in this world have only have the loaves and the fishes. They're to be pitied. We all need a stabilizing hope, anchor of hope in the storms of life. While the hope of glory is the great value of the glory itself, will of course be of much more value. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, in this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. This is a hope that will be fulfilled because Christ is risen from the dead, and many, many worthless witnesses testify and confirm this fact. Look at John, the 14th chapter, if you would, with me. John 14. John 14 and verse 2 and 3. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ showed himself alive to the apostles, and he gave them power to demonstrate that they were ambassadors who were speaking for God. They believed their own message and risked their lives to tell it. They gave this hope to tens of thousands of people who have lived closest to the original evidence. We may believe these witnesses and hope with those disciples, early disciples. Paul asked this question in Romans 8:25. He says, if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Not only do we wait patiently for the function of this hope, but we diligently seek it. Come with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. When you get there, we're going to read verses 5 down through 11. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentions, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. As he waits for repentance, God is long-suffering towards us. But contention and disobedience show up in many. Tribulation and wrath will face them into judgment. Glory, honor, peace, and immortality are all included in the eternal life mentioned for those who seek by doing the will of the Father in heaven. He will render to every man according to his deeds, and there is no respect of persons with him. The followers of John Calvin and all the rest of us should give much more thought to this passage from the Word of God. No man buys heaven, but he does obey or disobey God. It is impossible to serve God and mammon, so none should even try. With all of our essential seeking and obeying, eternal life is still a gift. Remember what Paul told the Romans in Romans 6 and verse 23 when he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Turn to Luke the 17th chapter. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. This is one of my favorite passages. Jesus says, "So likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." When we are faithful Christians, we've not only done what was our duty to do. We are to work for the Lord until the day we die. Never quit. Never give up. I've heard about an elder in another congregation years ago. He said, "I've been an elder for so long, I'm going to quit. Just turn it over to the young man. I've done all I need to do." No, he did not. That's not what the Bible says. He needs to work, work, work until the day he dies. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are listed as the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, and they are a pleasant foretaste of the more wonderful home which we call heaven. The peace and other good things found on this present tree are beyond our understanding of the children of disobedience. They don't understand it. A world with joy rather than frustration, love rather than hate, gentleness rather than bitterness, and goodness rather than moral rottenness would be a heavenly in nature. It would be good for us to read together, if you would, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 3. First John 3, 1 through 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure." The wonderful love of God has much more in store for us, brethren. We cannot now understand or comprehend the glory and the honor and the peace which he has to offer. But we can rejoice and give thanks in our hope. When one is filled with an awareness of these treasures and with a strong faith to make them real, he will purify his life as he seeks to please the Father by walking in the steps of Jesus. Those who love him will keep his commandments. Now look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The only way we can be saved, brethren, is to be in Christ. So how do we get into Christ? Paul makes it very clear. He says, as many of you has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Simple. You can only get into Christ through baptism. We're now the children of God, and we are given faithful descriptions of the inheritance that is laid up for us, but we groan in this body as others do. There is even added suffering because of the persecution that Christians must face. The faith that makes us realize that we're children of God and heirs of the promises brings 100-fold more in this life of persecution than others have to enjoy. We're blessed along with the suffering in this life, and we are promised of the life that is to come. Even in the face of the most bitter trials, we have reason to rejoice and be exceedingly glad as we think of the glory that is to come. It's a serious mistake, brethren, a serious mistake to think that becoming a Christian will cause all men to speak well of us. You may remember what Jesus told his disciples in Luke 6:26. He said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 we'll read. There was joy set before the Christ that helped him endure the cross and the shame that mob sought to bring upon him. Following his example, we are verse 1, to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Could it be that the joy set before Christ was that he might become our hope of glory? In reading the life of the Apostle Paul, we can see a wonderful word picture of what faith in Jesus Christ and the hope and glory that such faith brings can do to a man. Paul was stoned. He was beaten. He was in prison. He fled cities at night to save his life. And there were mobs who tried to kill him. Yet he never turned back from his decision to follow Christ. What did he see in the future that would be more compensate for all of his losses? Well, he saw something that he called the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He, as well as Simon Peter, knew by faith that there is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. That's what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Now turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Do we have a fear of death? Most of us do, I think. So what did Paul's hope do to his fear of death? Well, it completely destroyed it. Completely destroyed his fear of death. He hoped that Christ would be magnified in his body, whether it be by life or death. Look what he wrote. Look what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Verse 23. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better." When the final decision had been made at Rome and at the time of his departure was at hand, he wrote it as calmly as if he was mentioned just going to Ephesus. Turn to 2 Timothy 4, please. Second Timothy chapter 4. Paul called the reserved inheritance, or the prize of the high calling, verse 8, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Isn't that a beautiful passage? Crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 21. One of my favorite pictures of heaven is found in Revelation chapter 21. I love reading this. Verse 4 of Revelation 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. John was also able to see a vision and to write of it. Now skip down to verse 9. The angel said, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The remaining verses of this chapter and the first of the next continues the description of this wonderful city we call heaven. God tells us all that our minds can comprehend and lets us know that there's more that we're not able to understand now. Let me tell you, brethren, it will be better over there than it is here. Just as a farmer can cultivate his corn, we can cultivate hope. We can set our affections on things above and lay up treasures in heaven. Where our treasures is, there our heart will be also. Therefore, let us remember to seek glory, honor, immortality. We tend to be busy ourselves with the trivial things of this life, the things that will perish by our using. Thinking on things that are pure and lovely and true will both enrich our lives on earth and prepare us for the life to come. Think on things that are good, joy, pure. We can let our light shine now so that men will see our patience continues in good works and glorify God. We can cause them to hunger and thirst after righteousness if the hope beams in our faces. Let us be up and doing. The harvest is white, but there are very few laborers in comparison with the amount of work that needs to be done. Those who have learned about the great city and the great invitation to come within its portals must work to pass on the invitation to others. We know it. Once we know it, we've got to pass it on to others. Our zeal or lack of it, our good deeds or evil, our true love for the unfortunate, or our selfish attitude are the outgrowth of our hope of glory or lack of it. It is true that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It is also true that much improvement comes in this life of the man who is converted from unbelief to a faithful discipleship. It's interesting to see the joy of the Samaritans. It's also to watch the Ethiopian go on his way rejoicing. See the Philippian jailer rejoice with his family. And to read of the new converts in Jerusalem as they ate their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. Brethren, faith brings hope. And hope is an effective anchor of the soul. One of the most cruel things that any man could do would be to give his fellow man false hope of the incorruptible inheritance. Some never purify their heart by obeying the truth because they're told obedience is not necessary, that salvation is by faith only. Well, I hope someone who is listening to this will call me and tell me where in the Bible you find those scriptures. It's not found in the Bible. Faith only. Saved by faith only. Not there. It is obedience to the faith that counts, that Paul spoke of in Romans 15. Obedience, obedience, obedience. Repentance and baptism are stressed along with faith. One has certainly missed the way if he is never baptized into Christ, in whom we have redemption. Hope of glory is precious, but it will be sad for a lost man to learn too late that his hope was in vain. Turn with me one final passage, if you would, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we'll read verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We can hope through Christ, who desires that we be pure and zealous, people who are peculiarly his and are willing to help others by teaching and exhorting and by rebuking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:27, he says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the hope of glory to all them that obey him. So, brethren and friends, there's nothing more I can add to this lesson except to say, let us all look forward to his glorious appearing. That is our hope of glory. His coming will be a great day for his jewels. If we can help anyone become a Christian, we beg you to come forward right now, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. That is your hope of glory. That is your hope of glory. There may be some here this morning who have left the Lord, or who have strayed. Maybe somebody, people knows, seen them publicly. But if you have, the Lord always welcomes you back. Please come. Please come and let us pray with you and for you. Then you too will be in good standing with the Lord and with this congregation. Please don't leave this building in an unsaved condition. If we can help anyone, please, please come now as we stand and as we sing.